Welcome back, everyone, to Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening on Talk Radio Network stations around the country. First segment here is sponsored by Element Bars. Tired of the same boring flavors of energy bars? Wish they would make something that you could actually enjoy? I know that I do. Hello. How about a company that allows you to create your very own flavors, whether they are energy bars or protein bars? Element Bars allows you to create your bars from scratch. Carbs, proteins, crunchy stuff, doesn't matter. It's up to you. In addition, you're helping Coffee Talk 3.0 in the process. So go to coffeetalkradio.com/element. That's coffeetalkradio.com/element. Click the ad, create your own account, then create your own bars to be shipped directly to your home. They are a proud affiliate of Coffee Talk 3.0, and they're sponsoring this first segment. Lovely Janice. If you're tuning in for the first time, actor, writer, everyman. I got a great episode here for the next hour. We're going to cover a variety of topics. I've got a special guest that's going to be calling in. We'll talk about that in just a second. We're actually going to be talking about, we're revisiting what we talked about a few months ago in terms of the University of Virginia Rolling Stone scandal. That came to a head again. My mind is blown, Sam, Janice. I'm here in the studio, of course, lovely Janice and my buddy Sam. So that came to a head today. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about Green, Red, Green, my biography, and an excerpt from that, which is another road trip. We talked last week when I almost got arrested in Montana, which was interesting. So this week, we're going to be talking about a trip that I took to the Arctic Circle, which was very unique. We're going to talk about that in a little while. And, of course, we're going to have the ILoveKickboxing.com fitness tip of the week. We're going to have the social media giveaway of the week, et cetera, et cetera. I've been on it today. I just got back. Coming in the studio, I just was having the discussion with Sam and Janice here across the street from the studio here in New York City. About the 15th coffee shop has gone in, but a little crepe shop. And the funny thing is, when I went in, I got a coffee. And I'm going to be honest with you, dude, I don't even know what is in this. Whatever it is, it's delicious. It's a crepe shop. And so I went in. This is why I went in, literally. I was hoping, I was wondering, I was betting with myself whether or not the person inside was going to have a French accent. Bingo, man. Everybody working in there had a French accent. Okay, so from the moment that I realized it was there until even right now, I can't stop thinking about the movie Talladega Nights when I think of crepes and somebody with a ridiculously overacting French accent, because in Talladega Nights with Will Ferrell, his nemesis says that he'll you know, they're in like a bar fight, and he says that he's got him by his arm, and he says, I'll let you go, but you've got to say, I love crepes. And Will Ferrell's like, you're going to have to break it off, man. I'm not saying it. And he breaks his arm. It's such a ridiculous move. I walk into a crepe shop. I can't stop thinking about that now. It's ridiculous. Today, I got a wild day today, man. So I drove into the city because I'm getting ready to go on a road trip. I got Rocky with me. We're getting ready to road trip. Got him set up in the car, windows down, so he's good. It's only 60 degrees out anyway. Heading to Atlanta, I got to film a second in a series of commercials for SunTrust Bank down in Athens, Georgia. And then I'm going to make a big loop. I'm making it like a 3,000-mile journey this week. But before I leave, I'm doing the show right now, and I've got an audition right after this for a film that I got to head down to Midtown. And then I got to go work out quick so that I can go to my acting workshop with my new acting coach, Richard Klein. Then I'm hitting the road, filming for a couple of days down in Atlanta. I basically have a wild day planned ahead. I got a wild week planned ahead. Getting to what we were talking about earlier, about revisiting the whole University of Virginia fraternity rape scandal, the article that was in Rolling Stone magazine. In November, huge article, cover of Rolling Stone magazine, and it was a first-person, essentially, account of a horrific rape that happened at the hands of a fraternity and fraternity members, plural, and about the rape culture and et cetera, et cetera. Story came out. University of Virginia blew up. I mean, it was the president of University of Virginia put all fraternities on hold immediately. Big investigation. Whole thing starts unraveling like 4 days later, okay? And unraveling to the point where now today, here in New York, which is Monday, so this show is going to air on Sunday, so this week, basically, Columbia University's School of Journalism has gone through, and they independently, they were asked by Rolling Stone to give an independent assessment as to what happened. That came out today. There was a press conference today. And across the board, they're saying epic failure on every level, from the reporter through their editors, through the fact-checking process that they have. And so Rolling Stone came out Monday, said, hey, we're sorry. Sorry to the University of Virginia. Sorry to the fraternity. We're retracting the story. So they're taking the story down. So I tweet this morning, okay, this is what we're getting at here. Sabrina Erdely, who has been off the grid since this thing started unravel, which is November, and still off the grid. Until today, she issues an apology. But if you read my tweet, you'll get a sense of how ridiculous her apology is. My tweet, my first tweet earlier was, when is an apology not an apology? Okay, well, apparently when you're her, okay? Because, first of all, she doesn't apologize to the fraternity. You go and you issue an apology, and you don't apologize to those guys. How do you not do that? That was the first thing that I was just like, when is an apology not an apology, okay? But in my tweet, I said, well, at least Rolling Stone is doing the right thing. Fast forward 5 hours. Well, I take back what I said, man, because they then said, we're not firing anybody, including her. She quotes three people in that article that she never even interviewed, okay? So you go through all this, thing, right? The entire thing falls apart, and you don't fire anybody? You don't fire her, you don't fire the editors, you don't fire the fact checkers, you fire nobody. And then on top of that, Rolling Stone comes out and says, well, you know, we don't really think that there's a need for this complete overhaul of the way that we do things. To me, as a kid growing up, man, Rolling Stone was everything, dude. You know, you when you're a kid growing up in the 70s, you have two subscriptions. Sports, as a boy, you have Sports Illustrated and you have Rolling Stone magazine. Those are the two things that you subscribe to. I then tweeted again later. I said, you know, here's the deal. So Rolling Stone apparently is now like Gawker magazine or Deadspin in terms of their complete lack of credibility at this stage. And let me tell you who I feel the worst for in all this. It's not even the fraternity. I feel bad for those guys. Well, they did say they're going to sue, so I feel less bad now because they're probably going to get paid on this one, right? A of all, the girl that it was about, okay, that was that's a real human being. She's been thrown under the bus again by this woman and by Rolling Stone magazine. She's been thrown. Something happened to that girl. I don't know if it was something even remotely close to what she claimed happened to her that night, but it's obvious something has happened to her that has put her on this path, and she needs help in some way. She needs some help, right? So I feel horrible for her because she's just once again getting thrown under the bus. I also feel bad for who's now going to be hurt is the next female student at the University of Virginia that this actually does happen to, and how she's going to feel in terms of whether she's going to come forward or not. They've taken a quantum leap backwards into giving an opportunity for women who have had these things happen to them feel empowered enough so that they can come forward to get the help legally and otherwise that they need. What a step backwards. And for Rolling Stone to come out, it's only furthering that by saying, whoops. I can't even believe it, man. Anyway, we're going to be back here in a couple of minutes for our next segment. We're going to have our special guest on, Kara Richardson-Whiteley, and we're going to be talking about her new book that just came out, Gorge. You're listening to Talk Radio Network. This is Kevin Barbaro on Coffee Talk 3.0.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit. Until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
With most airlines, the most affordable flights are early morning departures. Getting to the airport at that hour can be problematic or even dangerous. I'm Kevin Barbro, the host of Coffee Talk 3.0. And listen, don't make your Uncle Ned wake up at 3 a.m. so he can get you to the airport on time and not pay for parking. Call S&G Limo at 516-771-LIMO and have affordable, courteous, safe transportation right to your terminal. S&G Limo has branches and affiliates all over the country and can arrange 24/7 service to all major airports. By calling 516-771-LIMO, you can save time and money. And on your return, S&G Limousine will be there patiently waiting for you on your arrival. No more standing in line for a cab. They'll pick you up at curbside and get you home safely. That's S&G Limo, 516-771-LIMO. 516-771-LIMO, or go to coffeetalkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
Now, welcome back, everyone, to Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening on a Hawk Radio Network. This segment here is sponsored by S&G Limousine. Call 516-771-LIMO. That's 516-771-LIMO. Mention the promo code COFFEE, and you'll get $10 off your first ride. Now, that's any airport in the country going to or from the airport, anywhere, anytime. 516-771-LIMO. They're sponsoring this segment of the show. Now, and in this segment, Janice, we have a lovely guest with us on the phone, Kara Richardson-Whiteley, who's joining us by phone. Kara, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you today?
I'm living the dream, as are you, P.S. Just came out with a book called Gorge, which I'm going to give just a Reader's Digest version here of what's going on. You have hiked Mount Kilimanjaro three times, reaching the summit. At least two times. Did you reach the summit all three times, out of curiosity?
Two times.
Okay, two times. The most recent time being 2011, Mount Kilimanjaro being, I don't know, the highest mountain in the world. And this book is about that. It's not just about that journey up the mountain, but this is a book about your journey through life, tackling that mountain being just a metaphor for a lot of things that you've been going through your life. Am I correct on that?
That's right. I wrote Gorge because I wanted to kind of give people the human experience of what it's like to have an issue with food. Now, whether you call that binge eating disorder, food addiction, or compulsive overeating, I wanted to kind of share that human experience. For me, to pair that with a mountain climb is kind of the best metaphor.
Oh, yeah.
To talk about those, to kind of meld those two experiences together.
First of all, my mind is blown, A of all, just on making it to the summit of Kilimanjaro. Okay, so take away from the fact that you did this, and at the time you did it, you weighed about 300 pounds?
Yeah, that's correct.
Let me share one quick story for you. Okay? About a month ago, I was here in the city, right? I was running late for an audition, and the elevator didn't work. And I hiked it up 25 flights of stairs and almost passed out. So I know what you felt like, right? No, I'm just messing with you. Dude, I'm going to tell you something. I went up 25 flights of stairs. I almost died. There's no way I'm making it 19,000 feet.
I didn't train for that.
So I'm just messing with you. When did you decide? How did you land on hiking up Mount Kilimanjaro? Let's start with that. How did you even land on that?
I'm happy to tell that story. I first hiked Kilimanjaro after a 120-pound weight loss.
Wow.
And I, that was when I used hiking as my method of, staying on track with my weight. I hiked, the first mountain I really set my mind to hike was Camel's Hump, which is Vermont's second highest peak,
yes,
you know.
Of course.
And then there were a number of other epic journeys, such as down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon and fortunately back up again. and then all these people started really focusing on what I look like. Huh. And they kept saying, oh my God, you're so skinny now. And for someone who had used food for so many years to kind of hide my emotions or shield what I was really feeling or shield attention from myself, to have like anybody who's known me, but barely talked to me, suddenly asking me all these personal questions, like, how'd you lose the weight? Was it, did you have the surgery? Or are you on South Beach, which was really hot at the time?
Right.
And so I wanted to kind of change that conversation. And so I took on Kilimanjaro, which is the highest mountain that you can really hike to the top of. And what I mean by that, it's not a technical climb. And don't get me wrong, it's no walk in the park. There's half as much oxygen at the top as there is down here at sea level.
Exactly.
So
which
every
hypoxia is the biggest problem. Yeah.
But I did it to raise money for charity, for Global Alliance for Africa's AIDS Orphans programs. And I could then, when people were asking me all these personal questions, I could say, I'm hiking Kilimanjaro, and here's how you can donate. And so people really rallied behind it, and I raised, over the years, more than $20,000 for that.
Wow.
For that charity through my Kilimanjaro climbs.
Okay.
But, like a lot of women who struggle with their weight, a year after that climb, I got pregnant. And so I gained more than half the weight back.
Gotcha,
and
yeah.
I went from, this person who was at the top of the world, everybody.
Yeah, literally.
Thought of me as this, yeah, really. Everybody thought of me as this person who, is this mountain hiking mama, and now I was just a mama who could barely walk across the living room because the sciatica in my back was so debilitating. So I think that a lot of my food issues are really rooted in depression, and I certainly was depressed, but it was really easy for me to make a number of bad choices that would put 70 pounds back on my body.
Right.
So, so that was, but unfortunately, just by deciding to go back a second time, I didn't, I thought I would do all these crazy challenges for charity. And I had this whole year where I did everything from the penguin plunge in Burlington, Vermont to the Emerald Nuts Midnight Run. I did all these crazy challenges, and then I ended the year with another Kilimanjaro climb. This is when my daughter was about 18 months old.
Wow.
And it ended miserably. I didn't do the training. I didn't do the emotional work to get through the, what was making me hurt myself in such a way that, I would compulsive overeat. And why did I have this pattern in my life?
Right.
And so this third time, I was kind of reluctant to go, but I had three people who really wanted to hike the mountain, and they really wanted to do it with me. And basically $25,000 was on the line for this charity that I love so much. And so this third time I decided that I would have to do the work, emotionally, physically,
right,
to get myself up the mountain, knowing that I wouldn't lose another 120 pounds immediately.
Right.
Knowing that I had quite a journey ahead of me, but this last journey was about ending up on top.
Oh, that's great. And that was 2011, correct?
Correct.
And so when you were preparing for it in 2011, how many months out did you how many months out from the hike did you say, okay, I'm committing myself 100% and I'm starting right now today emotionally, physically, everything. I'm going to do everything I can to prepare myself. How many months of preparation was that in 2011?
Oh, gosh. I'm no good at math, but I think it was about 6 months.
About 6 months, yeah. And yeah. So in physically, what were you doing to prepare yourself physically? Because I don't really think, I mean, obviously there's a lot that you can do physically to prepare you. But at the same time, you know, I've been telling this story here on the show where in 1995, I cycled from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina to Burlington, Vermont, 1,200 miles, 11 days, okay? And I was training a lot to get ready for that, okay? But after I did the ride, I was like, you know what? I almost feel like I wasted all my time training because I don't think there was anything I could do to prepare me for this, you know? did you kind of feel that way where it's like, oh, you do all this training, but then it's like, Jesus, no matter how much training I did, it's still going to be hard.
Well, that's true. I mean, my husband's training for a marathon right now, and it'll still be hard when he does it. But I did, for physically, I needed to train in a way that was good for my body where it was.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I would need a lot of strength work. I knew I would need a lot of stamina work. So I took on the Mad Marathon's Half Marathon in Waitsfield, Vermont.
Okay.
And then I also did a lot of spirit work where I did yoga and focused on breath work. And that part of the practice where you kind of set an intention in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to kind of believe that I could do it before I actually did it.
Right. Like
so
self-affirmation.
I think yoga was very important in that.
Right. And so when you were getting ready to do it, when you actually arrived there, and you had three other people with you on the 2011 journey?
Correct.
And now were your partners, were they able to complete the entire journey?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because one of the people who didn't make it went on to be an Iron Woman. You know, she did Iron Man in Hawaii. So
somebody's pretty tough and still didn't get to the top.
How you don't know how the mountain will treat you, whether you talk about the altitude or, whether you're going to get sick in some way, shape, or form from water or from, you know, just the overall exhaustion. You just don't know who's going to make it to the top.
Right. And there's got to be an unbelievable weather change from the bottom to the top, I'm assuming.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite guide was on my first trek, and his name is Meke. And he, every day we'd ask him, you know, what's the weather going to be like today? And he would always answer, it will be unpredictable.
Essentially.
Certainly will be unpredictable.
Right. It'll be what it is what he's trying to tell you.
Exactly.
Man, I'm telling you, my mind is just completely blown on this. And when did you make the first journey? What year was that?
That was 2007.
2007. We got to take a commercial break here, Kara, real quick, but I want you to stay on the line with me, and I want to talk a little bit more about how you feel as though this entire journey and these three journeys and the book itself is helping you, okay, and what you hope that it does to help other people. We'll talk about that in just a couple of minutes here. Listen, we're listening on talkingalternative.com and Coffee Talk Radio 3.0.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit. Until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
Call today.
Welcome back, everyone, to Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbro, and you're listening on talk radio network stations around the country. This segment here is sponsored by A Place for Mom. Hey, if you or anyone you love is in need of home care or assisted living, don't take chances. Let the great people at A Place for Mom help you. Just call the nation's largest senior referral company at 800-274-6144. That's 800-274-6144, 800-274-6144. And I've got on the line with me right now Kara Richardson-Whiteley, and you can find her book and more about her at KaraRichardsonWhiteley.com. And you can also, can you order the book, Kara, right off of your website, or do you have to go to Amazon?
You know, there is an Amazon link on my website and a lot of other online realtors, but as of tomorrow, you can go to your local bookstore and either should be there or they can get it for you.
Nice. Boy, this is huge, man. And so you had a...
I know. I still can't believe it's actually here.
How long did it take you to write the book?
At least a year. But I think one of the most important parts of writing the book was I first kind of, I looked at it as a story of, like an adventure story. It was a fat person on Kilimanjaro, and isn't that amazing kind of story?
Uh-huh.
And I worked with my agent for about a year on the book proposal. And finally she said to me, she goes, you know, this is still kind of flat. And maybe instead of just thinking of it as an adventure story, you need to look at it as an addiction memoir.
Right.
And so when she said that to me, or, which I know my agent, Kim Perrell, that must have been a really hard conversation for her to have with me.
Sure.
But everything changed then. Not only did the title of it change from Big Fat Mountain, but it changed to Gorge. You know, that kind of opened the door for me to change it to Gorge.
Right, right.
Which, of course, means, you know, the low point between two mountains and also to eat too much.
Right, right,
but
yeah.
But it also... It allowed me to kind of go into the deepest, darkest corners of my food issues, and knowing that I'm not the only one who struggles with this.
Oh, God, no. No, I mean, it's, you know, I spent over 20 years coaching NCAA Division I women's cross country and track, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so over the years, I had many women who eating disorders. It's a wide range, and that's what people don't really understand. You've got disordered eating all the way to full addiction one way or the other. And it's a psychological issue that you have to go through. You have to come to grips with where is this coming from?
And it's
not just the food. And it's the food is covering something up one way or the other. And coming to grips with that. So I you know, obviously, it's a... Through my years as a coach, it was one of the toughest conversations to have with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, before you even start that conversation, this is not going to be a good conversation, you know. Right. And you know that this person's feelings are this person's going to be emotionally really upset here when we have this conversation. And so I know what you mean when you say that your agent, it's tough to bring that, throw that on the plate,
right?
Because you don't know how the person's going to react either. You know what I mean?
I think it's one of the biggest challenges that our nation is facing right now, with two thirds of Americans being overweight or obese. And, you know, people who don't struggle with food kind of see it as, may see it as, well, gosh, it's just simply a matter of eating less and moving more. But no, it's not. I mean, there are, if, when you read Gorge, you'll see, and this is what my personal experience, my history with food, but you'll see that there is such, there's so much more. There's so many emotional levels. And even when someone does take steps to be healthier for, you know, by going to the gym, I mean, there are so many people out there who would roll down the window and make a disgusting, mean comment to someone just when they're taking a walk.
Right.
Even on Kilimanjaro, I was hiking the mountain, and the porters were betting against me.
We are going to check in with ilovekickboxing.com, and they're going to give us our fitness tip of the week.
Thanks, Kevin. The I Love Kickboxing fitness tip of the week is about protein intake. Your body uses protein to build and repair tissues. Unlike carbs and fats, your body will not store protein, so it's imperative you keep your protein intake consistent. A few good choices would be fish, chicken, lean meat, tofu, beans, eggs, yogurt, nuts, and seeds. For more information, you could go to our website, ilovekickboxing.com, and I'll see you all next week.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
Welcome back, everyone, to Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbro, and
I am on the mountain, and the porters are betting against my success. And even though that's an extreme kind of example, that's something that where I really felt like, you know, I was doing this really big thing. That is a common experience for women and men who struggle with their weight when they try to start making healthy choices. I mean, I think there is just way more than just eat less, move more. Until the health practitioners unlock that, you know, they're going to continue to struggle.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, because, you know, people can be, you know, we're humans, man. We can be so hurtful towards each other, which is just ridiculous. And, I mean, I'm going to be honest, you know, when I was young, you know, I know that when I was younger, sadly, but honestly, I was one of those people that couldn't understand why somebody just wouldn't be in shape, or they or why they were so big. And it wasn't until years later when like you go through life and you feel so horrible for maybe the things you've said, looking back. We all have someone we love that struggles with it. I mean, this all comes from somewhere along the way. Something traumatic has happened to somebody along the way, and it's caused them to cover that pain up, and mm-hmm. and finding out and being honest with yourself and figuring out what that thing is, where it comes from, is the hardest thing to do. And
absolutely.
And then the steps after that aren't any easier, you know, because now now you've addressed the monster in the room. Now what are you going to do about it? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And it's so difficult. I'm telling you, I'm so impressed with your entire story, man. I was addicted to your blog, man. The other night I was going through it, man, because it's just, you know, this whole show, my whole life is about, we're all human, man. We're all in this together, right? And we need to love each other, and we need to support each other, and we need to be inclusive, not exclusive. And this show is about people who take a chance on life and gamble on themselves, and because that's the way I run my life too. You know what I mean? And it's about being honest with yourself on a multitude of levels. Like I got a pretty self-deprecating personality. I can't wait to read the book. I'm gonna be honest with you. I hope I get one of the ones that sign. I'm gonna be honest with you.
But you bet.
So when you've been working through this, and the book turned into basically your own therapy, right? That's mm-hmm. That's what it sounds like to me. What is it that you want people to take away from the book?
Well, I hope that a number of things. One is I hope it inspires people to take on adventures that they might have been putting off because they think they're too old, too fat, too whatever. I hope it fosters an understanding about those who struggle with weight, for people who don't get it.
Right.
And most importantly, I think, I hope it creates some healing for people who do go through that and know that they're not alone in that struggle.
Even reading your blog inspired me. Okay, this is what happened a couple of days ago, right? Back in high school. Now, what people don't know is we went to the same high school. We went to South Burlington High School. Back in high school, this was when I was a real dumbass. This is when I really was kind of an ignorant kid. And you know what? Looking back, I acted the way that I did because I was insecure. I can be honest with myself about that. And that's where usually a lot of people who say hateful things, they're covering up their own insecurities. Mm-hmm. It's not until you become a man later that you can admit that, you know. But mm-hmm. I remember distinctly this happening. So I was in high school. I was on the bus. Somebody asked me, what do you think of so-and-so, a female that was in our class, right? And mm-hmm. I said, well, she's got a really pretty face, but God, you know, I made a derogatory comment about her body. Mm-hmm. She was sitting right behind me. Okay. I'm telling you, I didn't know that she was sitting there. And then I turned around and I saw how hurtful that it was. And I didn't even apologize. Mm. So I was reading your thing. And actually, I know for a fact, because I've run into that person again later in life. So about 20 years ago, I ran into that person. That person was still hurt by it.
Mm.
And because it was so devastating.
Mm-hmm.
I actually reached out to that person after reading your blog the other day. And I said, listen, you know, maybe you don't even think about this anymore, but I just wanted to apologize to you because, like, I feel so horrible. And I've felt horrible about this for like almost 30 years, you know,
wow.
Because the person forgave me. Maybe just this one smile at a time, baby, right? That was Kara Richardson Whiteley, and you're listening to Kevin Barbaro on Coffee Talk 3.0. I'll be back with you in just a second on Talk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-274-6144. That's 1-800-274-6144.
We And welcome back, everyone, to Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbaro. This segment is sponsored by Life Alert. If you or someone you know needs the security and confidence that is only given by having somebody on call 24/7, then the professionals at Life Alert monitoring system is who you need to call. So you can call and get a free flyer at 800-580-1113, 800-580-1113. That's 800-580-1113. That's Life Alert. We're going to talk a little bit. Now, last week I talked about my road trip to Boise, Idaho, where I almost had to spend 2 days in jail, mandatory, because I was driving on a suspended license, going 110 miles an hour, et cetera, et cetera. So this trip doesn't involve anything illegal or otherwise. So this road trip, this is another top 10 road trip of my life, which is detailed in my upcoming biography, Green, Red, Green. And in this one, dude, I went to, all right, this is 2002 turning into 2003. So I departed New York City on Christmas Day, okay? So December 25th, 2002, and I was gone for a week. Where I went to, I went on a ski trip. I treated myself to a ski trip to a ski resort that's located in northeastern Finland in a town called Ruka, R-U-K-A, okay? This was a journey, my friends. So I drive from Toledo, Ohio to JFK and park my car for the week. Then I fly the red eye from JFK to Warsaw, switch planes, Warsaw to Helsinki. When I get to Helsinki, okay, I had to take a bus down to city center. So I take the bus to city center. I get there. That's where the train station is. When I got to the train station, A of all, nothing is in English. Nothing even looks remotely close to English. Like, you know, when you travel to France and to Spain and to Italy, you know, Romance language countries, you can kind of figure it out. You know, things, dude, it might as well have been Chinese or Sanskrit or something, because not one word looked like a word that I could recognize. You know what I mean? And so I have to go to the ticket counter or whatever. They have to get somebody that speaks English, and I get somebody speaking. I said, "Listen, I got to go to Oulu or whatever the name of the town was." Anyway, it was an 8-hour train ride due north. All right, so I get on the train. I had 8 hours due north. I get off the train at the train station, which was like the last stop on that train, dude, because you're at the Arctic Circle, right? Then I had to get on another bus. Okay, and that bus had to go for 2 hours, driving for 2 hours through the mountains to get to this little town called Ruka, okay? So 24 hours of travel time is what it took me to get there, basically, is what it came to. So I get there, and now I'm a skier. I'm from Vermont, right? Obviously, I'm educated. I know it's going to be cold. It's wintertime. But, dude, I'm telling you, man, I had no idea how cold that was going to be. I can't even wrap my head around it, man. So I get there, and there's literally no exaggeration. There's essentially permafrost on everything. So like even the roads, you don't see actual pavement. You know, it's like this really packed snow ice combination, and all the cars have tires have chains on them and things like this, right? So there's just permafrost on everything. The warmest it got, the warmest, was a sweltering negative 17 degrees Fahrenheit. That was the warmest it got while I was there, okay? The coldest it got, negative 55. Every night, I basically ascertained, that's the coldest it can get. And the only reason I came to that conclusion is because it never got colder than that. So in my mind, it's like, well, I guess that's as cold as it can get. So, because it literally was exactly negative 55 degrees Fahrenheit every night, you know? And of course, being American, I needed to do the dumbest thing possible, which would be see how long I could stand outside with my shirt off, which was like 30 seconds. I came back in. I almost lost a nipple, man. That was ridiculous. And I also took a cup of boiling hot water, and I took it outside and threw it in the air, and it really did vaporize, you know, immediately. So what happened was, I get there, right? I get to the hotel. Dude, I'm in such a remote area that no one spoke English at this place. Now, I've traveled all over the world, man, and you can always find somebody that speaks English. I'm at the desk. No one speaks English. So I'm basically trying to figure it out. And then all of a sudden I see this young guy. and I motion them over. This is a travel tip for anybody that's traveling to another country. If you're in a country that where English is not the first language or not even the second language, right, find someone young because they listen to American music and they watch American television. So in the 5 days that I was actually there, I spoke to no one. I have my own radio show, so you know I love to talk, man. I had nobody to talk to for 5 days. I was about going back crazy, man. But I'll tell you, I will say this. So it was such a remote ski area. There was a couple of times where I was on these runs and I was the only person on the entire run, right? Or I'd be on the ski lift and I'd be the only person as far as I could see either direction. And back then I had a Walkman, you know, like a CD player. You know, this is 2002, right? And the CD of choice for that trip, I don't even know why. I look back and now I have no idea, was The Carpenters' Greatest Hits. And I'm telling you, I'm no exaggeration, I'm on the ski lift. I'm at the Arctic Circle. I'm watching the sun just kind of beep up in the horizon. It doesn't even rise and set. It just loops, right? And everything, it's so white, so beautiful, right? And I'm listening to, I'm on top of the world looking down on creation. I kept playing that song over. I think it was the lack of oxygen or something, man. But it was a great trip, man. Just like my trip to Vermont, I learned a lot about myself because when you're somebody that loves to talk, I'm not even kidding. I sat there and talked to myself. I kind of felt like Tom Hanks in Castaway, you know, when he had Wilson, the ball. I basically was just sitting there talking to like a bottle of whiskey for like 5 days as if it was another human. Anyway, you'll be able to read about that story and many more when my biography comes out. But I do have the social media giveaway of the week. So this week's social media giveaway of the week is won by Oksana Lovich from Los Angeles, California. I'll get in touch with her. She won a gift card with 10 free large coffees from Dunkin' Donuts, and she won a half a pint of pure Vermont maple syrup from SmithMapleCrestFarms.com. You can get a discount from them. You just go to SmithMapleCrestFarms.com, and you get $5 off of a gallon of pure Vermont maple syrup. And until next week, my friends, this is Kevin Barbaro. You're listening to Coffee Talk 3.0. We'll see you later.